This program was first broadcast on Toro Radio 1575 Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Good evening. I'm Kelvin Lyon, representing the Bible Truth, Christadelphian Bible Truth program. And we were doing some Exploring the Bible programs, but we've gone through those now. So, for a different one tonight, after going through the Bible exploration, we've realized and found that the wonderful God has a plan and purpose with mankind and this earth. We found out that through that, where the beginning we saw creation, we saw those things, how the fall of mankind came about, how sin entered into the world. Now let's work through different people, important people through the Bible, and showed us these things that are, he has in a plan with the nations, and he's worked this out through the nation of Israel. So what I thought we'd do tonight, we would deal with the how the Bible does reveal the future. It really does. It's just the only aspect in our lives that we can really trust in. I'd just like to read a few verses from Psalm 72. Now that's a psalm, a future psalm, speaking of that wonderful time when Jesus returns to set up that kingdom. We spoke how the genealogy of Matthew and Luke show that Jesus came, it was promised way back, and the line came through to him. Well, when he was here teaching about the kingdom of God and the purpose on earth, he was really working from these psalms. And now look at this psalm now, Psalm 72. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge the people with righteousness, and the poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people, he shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generation. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace, so long as the moon endures. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. That's a promise, a prophecy, from way back in David's time, 1000 BC. So what we're going to look at tonight, how that will come about, and the hope it gives us through the scriptures of God's word. We said the Bible reveals the future. There's only one God. There's only one plan and purpose. He's not divided. But what is it to you would really like to know about the future? We could say the Bible is not a crystal ball to look into to find out what you're going to do in your little life, what sort of car you're going to buy, what sort of job you're going to have and pay and things like that. The Bible tells us about the situations on this earth, mankind and the nations about it, and how things will come about. But when we state things concerning our future as a people, the inhabitants of the earth, our existence is really the big question, and the Bible is the only one that has that answer. There's another scripture in Habakkuk 2:14 that the Lord will fill the earth with his glory as the waters cover the sea. It's his purpose is to set up a wonderful kingdom upon this earth. But let's just look at one or two of the other things that have happened throughout the world. Because when we look at the history of the world, it doesn't show a lot of joy for mankind. We have, if you look at your history books, you mainly you'll look at conflict and wars, suffering and all those sort of things. In other words, there's never really been a time on this planet when there's been a spell of peace. There's always a little war going on here and there. At the end of a war, though, I suppose, there's a certain amount of joy, there's a certain amount of rebuilding, but it's not lasting. And this, the scriptures actually do not tell us that it will be lasting. The only lasting peace they're talking about is the one that we hope for when we're with the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns to this earth, as that psalm showed us. We know with human governments we have leaders come, leaders go, some are good, some aren't so good, elections come and that. History's seen them all. Let's look at a couple. Alexander the Great, he had a mighty military man in his day. We've had different Caesars that have ruled from Rome. We've had different kings and queens that have ruled from countries. Some of them have been good, some of them haven't been good. They've never really fulfilled the dreams of the people. Hitler was an example of using charisma to support his shocking rule of Germany and his atrocities that he did. And then we have, I've just noticed there last year, one of the last kingdoms of the world was having an election, the Kingdom of Nepal, voted in democracy. Things would never be the same there. Perhaps people didn't want them to be the same. They wanted to change. Don't get me wrong. There are many well-being people that enter into politics to administer the government's will on the people. A lot of them enter in very well for good intentions. But the Bible does not show us that that is where the real joy is going to come from. We can look at the example of Zimbabwe. We are conversant with that situation, aren't we? I don't need to use examples to show how the people are suffering there. Food shortages, HIV, disease, destroying so many. Also have the southern region of the Sudan, the Darfur region. Many diseases and sufferings and things. And a lot of it's caused through war and oppression. But if they weren't having war and oppression, they'd be suffering through probably a drought or some things that affect people. There is never complete joy. Humans, in this existence, we are to struggle along and to find out the meaning of life and to find out the meaning of God has in the world. Jesus, and in the New Testament, not only Jesus, but I think the word truth is mentioned about 52 times in the New Testament. Now that's amazing. It's also indicating that when someone speaks, tells you what is the truth or is the truth, that there's a lot of things that are not the truth. Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. Well, one of the most amazing things that struck me when I decided to inquire into God's word was that in the book there is a plan for mankind. As we did in our exploration of the Bible, I did that too years ago. Genesis being the first book of the Bible, meaning beginning, 66 books of that, and the Revelations being the last book. And as with any book, the groundwork is shown in the early chapters, the principles, the foundations that God has established for people on this earth are in that very first part. And as with a lot of books too, what does the last book tell us? It gives us the conclusions, the solutions to the matter, the answers to the wonders. Genesis, meaning beginning, informs us of the Creator's plan by creating an order of circumstances fit for the habitation of plants and animals and dwell in harmony. I was thinking about that lately as I drive around a little bit in the country. The way animals search out each other, the signs, the sounds, the smells, the instincts, what things that draw them to find one another to propagate their species. It's amazing, isn't it, how they're all different and how they're all have a way of searching at each other. That's just not chance or evolution. That's a Creator has put wisdom into these things. And we can see the balance of the animal world and the plant world fitting harmoniously together is the word I want. We have creation and the situation for mankind. God declared that all was very good in Genesis 1:31. We read about the ordeal, how Sin entered into the world through Adam and Eve. And also at the same time, the Lord God reveals to us a plan he has, a rescue plan to rescue us from that way of sin and death that Adam brought into the world. And Jesus Christ is that promised one. From Genesis 3:15, you read that and look at that. The fulfill the promise. The Apostle Paul to the Roman believers in about AD 58 said in Romans 5, verses 12 and 17, those are interesting connections because we're talking about a time when Paul wrote these things in the book of Romans to the people of the Romans. We're talking about nearly 4,000 years, or just over, from when sin entered into the world. And he says in 5 verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death has passed on all men, for we've all sinned. And he goes on down in verse 17, for if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And then we duck down to 21a. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. It clearly shows us that there is an identification that we must make with the Lord Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But we have to cross over, we have to accept Jesus. And that's showing, those verses there, that clearly shows the place in God's plan, how one man would come to obey God perfectly and therefore reverse that sin and death sentence to one of eternal life, and anyone could associate with the life of Jesus. We still sin and die, but our association that as like he raised from the dead, we also will be raised from the dead if we are in Christ. The important aspect of our life is to associate around the things that Jesus said and did while he was here on earth. We believe the words of Jesus. We believe the words of his apostles. We believe the rest of the word of God. Because there's a point in Paul's a letter to a friend of his in Timothy. He says it there in 2 Timothy 3:15, 16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for instruction in righteousness, so that the person, or the man of God, he calls it there, well, that means woman and men, can be thoroughly perfect and do all good things. So that's where our instruction comes. That's our instruction manual. We use a manual when we fix a car and we do other things. The Bible is our manual. Between Genesis 1 and Revelations, God's called out special people to reveal, his future and to be part of it. Look at part of it now. We'll just read a couple of other verses back in Genesis chapter 13. This is a time when Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are spoken of, those fathers of the nation of Israel. Chapter 13, verses 14 and 17. And the Lord God said unto Abraham, and after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever, and I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. This is repeated to Abraham's son Isaac, and it's also to Jacob, which is Isaac's son. See, friends, we can't get away from it. The Bible is really a Jewish book, and us as Gentiles, we're adopted into the Jewish hope, and we come in through Jesus. The nation of Israel was in God's plan to bring about his promise, and the generations through to the birth of Jesus Christ, which I said you can read in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 4. And Paul tells the Galatians in another letter, that's Galatia, it's in Asia Minor, that this seed promised to Abraham was also, actually it was a singular one by being in Jesus Christ. You can find that in Galatians 3. That's a wonderful chapter to read. We haven't got time to read it all here at the moment, but you look at that in your leisure, because these relations between the Old and New Testament are so important to establish the truth and the understand what Paul's talking about. We need to know some of these Old Testament stories, these promises that God has made to set in foundation, as I said, in the book of Genesis. Now, King David, he's a special one. He's in this line of through to Jesus from Abraham. He is of Israel. He's an important part of the genealogy. And he was promised a child. If we just look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, it's an interesting part there that a lot of people I've spoken to don't seem to realize the importance of some of these small little bits, but they are included in the genealogy, which we're going to show very soon, but further on into the New Testament. But let's just look at 2 Samuel 7. And it says there, verse 12, talking to David, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." No, that can't be Solomon, because, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." What happened to Solomon? He did build a temple. Sure, David wasn't allowed to, he did build a temple. But what happened to it? The kingdom divided after Nathan, after Solomon, to Rehoboam and Jeroboam, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. But what ties it together, you'll find we're going to look at the New Testament in just a moment. You'll note that the inclusion here of the kingship that is to promise the important child. So to confirm this, we need to look at the New Testament, and we're going to look at Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. That's the one. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 1. Now this is the Gabriel, the angel coming to Mary to tell her about that special child that was going to be born. And we'll pick up the story. "And the angel said to her," this is in Luke chapter 1 verse 30, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Isn't that absolutely amazing? "Of his kingdom there shall be no end." This is the important thing about this. It's an eternal, it's forever. And it refers there that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne of his father David. So that one from back in 2 Samuel goes right past Solomon, goes right past all the other kings of Israel, comes right through to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Pilate said, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" When he put that on by his cross. I'll presume now, though, but perhaps I just shouldn't, but you listening, you're searching for truth, and the Bible just might have a message of hope. Because when we look into the world, we don't see much hope. So that's why we, the Christadelphians, put these broadcasts on, to try and ask you to compare Scripture with Scripture and look at things to see what is the truth. Because Jesus says, "The truth shall make you set you free." We believe this plan and purpose of the Bible is getting near its fruition when the Lord Jesus Christ returns on this earth. There's a wonderful temple spoken of by Ezekiel that is going to be built on Mount Zion to rule the world. Now, I came from a home that had a Bible in. And we understood there was a lot of stories in it. We didn't read many of the stories. I went to a Presbyterian Sunday school, learned a few little good things there. But they didn't tell me that there was a plan and purpose with this earth that God had. And that Jesus was going to return. Yes, I think someone did tell me one time that Jesus would return, but it was sort of a thought about without really a reality thinking behind it. It might happen, it might not happen. But it was nothing that you really looked forward to. Your whole life was centered around it. No. But there was some good stories, honestly. Ten Commandments they used to teach us. Doing good to people and all that type of thing. But the Bible does require us to understand and believe. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples or apostles? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone that believeth and is baptized will be saved. Mark my word, when I did wake up, I was amazed. The things that it revealed about the future from this Bible, and they still absorb me to think of the privilege that I have of being called to know these things. I mean, there was no suggestion that we needed to search the scriptures. Yet you'll read aspects of the Bible where different groups of people did do that very thing. They searched the scriptures to see if those things that they were being taught were so. It also tells us that there'll be other people that would teach other things with itching ears and lead people away from what is the truth. So then if you lead away from the truth, you might be sincere, but is that enough? The Lord Jesus Christ, a Jew, born to be king of Israel, and as Peter declared, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of Israel. Before Jesus was crucified, he spoke of the bread and wine that his followers were to take as a symbol of a remembrance of his body on the cross and how he gave his life. He said to do this act of remembrance until he would return. Eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. That's right, that's what the scripture says. So therefore we're doing it with an anticipation that he's going to come. The divine hand has preserved in three of the gospels records Jesus' conversation with his disciples. Matthew, Mark, Luke. He was asked specifically, when would he return? He spoke about the destruction of the temple that was to happen in AD 70. They could see that over the hill. He spoke of other things. And we'll look at Luke 21 to look at that. This is going to be a two-part presentation. The subject that we're dealing with, the Bible reveals the future, cannot possibly be covered in just a half-hour session. So we're going to have a pause and start again in the next fortnight. But never mind, we're carrying on at the moment, and we're looking at Luke 21. And Luke 21, and we can read verse 24, and we can look at that verse now, because he's referring to what's going to happen in AD 70, after the destruction of the temple. He said, they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall, the Jews, this is, in Jerusalem, and shall be led away captive into all nations. Jerusalem shall be trodden town of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, doesn't fulfilled mean a time, a completion time? So let's read on the next bit. And then it says, Jesus says, there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. But when they now shoot forth, you know, see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know you that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation, or these, shall not pass away till these things be fulfilled. Well, there's certainly a lot in those little bits there, isn't there? And we haven't got a lot of time to talk too much about them, but we do know for a fact that when we look at those verses of Luke chapter 21, and we see that they're going to be led into captivity to the times the Gentiles be fulfilled, Jerusalem would be trodden down. What's happened in the last 100 odd years? Well, what's happened in less than 100 years? The people of Jewish descent have gone back to Israel. They have formed their own nation. If you look at that verse there, that's very important to us. It's in... I've lost that verse. In verse 29, when Jesus spake to them of the parable, behold the fig tree. The fig tree was a symbol of Israel. And Jesus says clearly there, behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. Well, friends, we've got a few more minutes, not many more minutes, and then we're just going to have pause for a continuation of this in the second part two of this subject. But the important thing is to remember that Jesus is coming. He speaks clearly of his coming. He speaks of this fig tree of Israel. And the other thing is that he's really endorsing what was said in the Old Testament. Because if you look at Jeremiah, you look at Zechariah, you look at Daniel, and you look at Ezekiel, they all speak of the same time of the end, the latter days, the time when this time of perplexity, the time of Israel back in the land, the time of the suffering that's going to come upon them, and the time of their Messiah will return to save them and to set up that glorious kingdom. Yes, he will save them. Some of them will not be saved. There's a prophecy in Zechariah that speaks of so many of them being killed in this when this king of the north comes down upon them. 2/3 will be destroyed, and 1/3 will come through the fire and be refined, it says. So, when we look at that, we know that when we see the issues and the troubles surrounding Jerusalem, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is soon to be revealed from heaven to set up that glorious kingdom on this earth. There's many prophecies that we're going to look at in this second part. It'll be spoken about the all nations against Jerusalem. You'll see that. We'll see this, how Jesus returns, how he's identified by the people amongst them. But for the time being, we'll now give you our data, how you can log on to us. You can www.findthelight.org or www.accessradio.org, or else you can contact me personally, Calvin Lyon, on RD2 Waitati, 9085, or 4822698. We're on, this will be repeated on Wednesday evening at 7:30, and our next session will be on in a fortnight's time. So we trust you that you are continuing your studies to find that truth, to identify with it, and to make your calling and election surer, as the scripture words tells us to. See, once we've identified ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and been baptized, we can then follow in the instructions, looking forward to his coming. Thank you. Good night.
This program was first broadcast on Torah Radio 1575 Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.